There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that I'm saying is I've said it a million times and I want them to hear it from another person's perspective. That's where you use video clips of, Roger Clemens saying something. I don't know why the first person that's popped in my mind, Roger Clemens talking about the same thing. Or, you know, we talk about connect. We've shown that Phillies video from the 93 Phillies team of those guys connecting and talk. So it's, that's just teaching, right? It's not always me talking. It's, you find different avenues to do it.
Well, that was Nick Sirianni today. I guess defending the reason why he did not address the team, why Jalen Hurts did the other night. He said he uses other motivational tactics, like showing them videos of Roger Clemens and the 93 Phillies. I didn't really get that one, Hugh.
I didn't either. But I understand what he's trying to say. There are certain things that I learned a long time ago that as a professional athlete, you can't, everybody doesn't need to know everything. And I know people looking at that, like, what do you mean? We pay your salary. Like, no disrespect, but there are certain things that if we try to explain them to you, we would just further make you more confused. I remember one time my cousin was asking me about, we were talking about something that happened in a locker room. And she was talking about that's discrimination at work or something. It was something. And I was like, well, hey, that happens in the locker room all the time. She's like, well, I don't understand it. It's this, that, and the third. And I'm like, no, it's different in a locker room. And she couldn't grasp what I was saying. Mm. Like some of the conversations that have. And I was like, sometimes the conversations get a little specific. And I'll even be honest, they get a little racial. Like things are said that in a locker room that you probably wouldn't say in public because people wouldn't receive them the same way. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to explain that. And the more I explained it, the more confused she was and the more confused I was because she started talking about HR and all this other stuff. And I'm like, no, it's not like that. Well, you're at work and you're in a work environment and, you know, they're saying things like this and it's offensive. It's not like that.
Right.
And I'm trying to explain it. So it's kind of like that. That's why earlier in the week when everybody was up in arms about him not being in the meeting or not addressing the team, to me, it wasn't that big a deal because I was thinking about the times that, you know, Andy would probably come in and say, hey, I'm going to leave it to you guys. And he would walk out.
Do you still feel that same way that it wasn't a big deal that he didn't address the team?
I don't think it was a big deal. I think this is a big deal because there is some residuals. Because every time I hear it, the last week, especially after this loss, when I hear people talk about the Eagles, they don't talk about them. This is the funny thing, is when they talk about the Saints, they talk about them in the small sampling size of this two-game stretch that they're on. When they talk about the Minnesota Vikings, mm-hmm. they talk about the small sampling size of this two-game or three-game, now we're getting ready to go into the third-game sample. When they talk about the Jets, talking about a small sample. But when you talk about the Eagles, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but when you talk about the Eagles, you say, well, it starts out, well, they're 2-7 in the last nine games. And Jalen Hurts has thrown a pick and like, because that's how it's talked about. Mm. So I get that because we're still living. Everybody else gets to move forward and talk about this year.
Right.
But because of the way that it ended for the Eagles last year, that is always brought up. And I get that. I totally get that. But it's always interesting – to hear people when they talk about the beginning of the season and how hope springs eternal. If you get off to a bad start, you have the kind of start, the game that we had, all of that becomes relevant in the conversation.
Right. And I think that's why this game and really the next 2 weeks are so important, because it's hard for us to see what we've seen this year and separate it from last year because of the way it ended.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good point, Hugh. And when you look at these next couple weeks, it feels like it's really important for the momentum of the season here. And our question we've been asking today is, do you expect the Eagles to win? And that was also our Twitter question, at WIP Midday Show on Twitter. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing that others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. And the question, which best describes your feeling on Sunday's game versus the Saints? Right now, 85% saying hope they win, 15% expect them to win. I think a lot of that probably does go back to last year, Hugh, and the disappointments.
It does, man. And it's one of those things where we see a lot of things that rear their ugly head from last year. And I'll say this, if Jalen wouldn't have thrown that interception at the end of the game, and we would have lost. You know what the conversation would have been? Oh,
Jalen. Yeah.
Well, it would have been like, oh, Jalen balled out, but damn, we didn't pull it out.
Right.
Didn't get that play. But now it's like, well, I'm concerned. He looks like he did last year. Well, we played two games now. Now, to be fair, he threw three picks.
Yep. Three picks in two games is not good.
He threw three picks. But man, I can't be as down on Jalen for that last one, because it's hero ball. I get that hero. And he could have checked it off the Britton cover, because hell, six receptions.
Yeah.
Hell, a seventh ain't gonna kill you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That should be the new offensive strategy. Just feed Britton cover. Get him the football, man.
But I can't look at it and say, oh, the season's dead. I can't do that just yet.
Yeah. I hear you. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. By the way, Elliot Shore Parks tweeted out a bit ago when practice started, no sign of AJ Brown or CJGJ at Eagles practice today. So take that for what you will. I would say pretty safe that AJ's out. Not looking good for CJ Gardner-Johnson to be in the lineup either, if neither are practicing on Friday. In a few minutes, we'll get to Guess the Takes, but first, some phone calls. Dennis in North Philly. What's up, Dennis?
What's up, Philly customers? This was something my call again.
What's up, man?
Fun fact. Kirk Cousins, other quarterbacks did this, but Kirk Cousins is the only guy for 3 years in a row who fought the Eagles in the second week. I had him twice as the Vikings, and then this time as the Falcons.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
Is he going to find a way? He's going to beat y'all. So that's a fun fact. And I don't know if somebody else created that fact already.
That don't sound fun, though. Don't sound fun.
You know, that's not what I called here for. I'm going to say this loudly and proudly. And Hugh, I'm going to back you up on this one. Defense is a luxury, not a necessity.
That nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah. So what do you?
Especially
after that performance.
Not after last week.
Yeah. Luxury, the word, it was never a bad thing, and it doesn't mean in a bad way. It never was.
Are you confident in the win, Dennis?
Defense is too comfortable. Y'all got overconfident. Y'all too comfortable. And the fact that Falcon game had proved it all. So that defense, I don't know if Bryce Huff can hear me personally. Hey, Huff, it's time to do the Huff, bro. It's time to do the Huff. I'm doing the Huff as I'm saying it.
Do the Huff.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
But it's
doing I want to see that dance, bro.
Oh, you talking about his dance, whatever it is he does.
I hear you, Dennis.
I want to see that.
I appreciate the call. Yeah, I haven't seen Bryce Huff sack dance. He hasn't gotten a sack.
Yeah, I saw it when he was in that other green jersey when he was a Jet.
Oh, yeah? I didn't know he had a move called the Huff.
I didn't know it was called the Huff, but he has a little dance that he does.
Okay. Well, hopefully we get to see it this week.
Can I just say this? Like, I understand where the last call was trying to go. Nah, you got to get a couple sacks. Like you can't just get one and do the dance.
Oh, you can't be dancing after.
You got to accumulate a few before you get comfortable, you know. And I'll say this, and this is another reason why I believe in Bryce Huff, because this third game was the game that I had a breakout. You know,
yep.
I was feeling that heat. I felt that heat in New York about, you know, being a guy that was too small to play at this level and all this other stuff. So I felt that heat, and that's why I believe in him, you know.
Hopefully he can get it done. Hopefully we see the Huff this weekend.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to Alex and Trenton. What's up, Alex?
Yo.
How you doing?
Not bad.
What's going on?
All right. Well, a couple things I want to address. First, I am happy that you played the clip of Reggie Bush getting rocked by Sheldon Brown. I think that brings it back to a good time because Reggie Bush got rocked by Sheldon Brown. And when he initially tried to get up like a hero and then got down on all fours, that was a beautiful time. Still the best hit in Eagles history. Another thing about the emotional support dog. Listen, it could be a good thing to have, you know, for that particular booth, especially if you have to hang out with Al Michaels all the time.
I just feel like Herb Street's taking advantage of it a little bit. That's all.
He's saying good
taking
point.
Advantage.
The fact that Kyle said good point is bananas.
But shut up, Kyle.
But you know, just get back to the birds real quick, you know, and you know, there's something that Hugh said, you know, earlier in the show, and you know what he just kind of mentioned again is the pride of being a professional athlete. I think, you know, that goes even beyond being a professional athlete, you know, as well, too. You know, just in everybody's day-to-day life, if they have a crappy performance, you know, at work or whatever they do, you know, they want to do a little bit of, you know, internal look and try to fix things over here. Bryce Huff knows that he got paid a lot of money, and he knows what the expectations are. The fact that they had a players-only meeting already, and they're all kind of looking in the mirror and saying that we could do better – that's why I do feel pretty confident about this. You know, there's some mistakes out there, but as long as they all look in the mirror and, you know, get things together a little more in check with each other, and God forbid if Jalen throws the ball to Dallas Goedert a little more, I think close game, but I do think they pull it off on Sunday.
No, well, there you go, Alex, and appreciate the call. And yeah, that's going to be – I'm interested to see if they, like – I almost feel like they're going to overcompensate Hugh and try to get the ball to Goddard more because of the way they didn't do that last week.
I think you overcompensate and get the ball to Saquon Barkley more in the passing game. Saquon, outside of A.J. Brown, no disrespect to Skinny Batman, who's your best weapon?
It's Saquon.
Feed the beast,
but
man.
Hugh, and I know I'm going to sound scared like Joe here, but
– I know he's older. Feed the beast, man.
Hugh, you can't overload him early on in the year.
I didn't say hand him the ball. I didn't say that. I said feed the beast. Now, the way you tend to – however you decide to feed him, that's up to you. Feed the beast. If you want to feed him by handing – like Brian Westbrook, as I evoked the name of my old teammate, had 2,000 all-purpose yards in his best season as a Philadelphia Eagle. Feed the beast.
Well,
Brian Westbrook was a problem in the passing game.
This is the problem for Saquon, though. Can we even throw him the ball? If he can't catch that pass.
I'm not about to beat Saquon up for one pass
catch
that he dropped. If he would have caught it, we'd be talking differently. But It's time to redeem yourself. Feed the beast, man.
I feel like Saquon's got off the hook a little bit this week. I feel like he should be taking more heat than he's taking for that. If that's Kenny Gainwell. Kenny Gainwell's getting destroyed.
Man, that happens. Sometimes,
all week long
sometimes
for that.
Dog, that happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get the bear. Sometimes the bear gets you.
Man, well, hopefully.
I mean, I know that didn't make anybody feel good because Kyle looked at me like, man, what the hell are you doing?
Sometimes you're the hammer. Sometimes you're the nail.
You know what I mean? But it's the truth. It's the truth.
Just catch the football. Now it's time for, as we get ready for week three, though, guess the takes.
It's time to guess the takes.
Yes.
All right, so now we're guessing what is everybody going to be talking about on Monday following week three in the NFL. Who's starting here, Kyle? Should I start? Should you start? Should
you
start?
Give it a rip, TK.
I'll give it a start.
Give it
here.
A rip.
And I got a spicy one for you.
What you got?
And you might not like this either, Hugh. I think one of the talking points on Monday, one of the big takes, is it time for the Ravens to move on from John Harbaugh and bring in an offensive coach for Lamar Jackson?
Boy,
they could be 0-3.
Super spicy.
They go to Dallas. I mean, you could be staring 0-3 in the face. We know Lamar in the past has had playoff failures. John Harbaugh, not an offensive coach. I think that's going to be one of the takes. Should they bring in an offensive coach for Lamar?
Super spicy. Oh, it's my turn?
Yep, your turn.
I do like that. I like that take.
That is a spicy take. I
could
tell
be 0-3, man.
Yeah. But get a new job in no time.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
John Harbaugh?
Next coach of the Birds.
Hey.
Yeah.
Could make a lot of sense.
This one's probably going to hurt a little bit. But I feel like, you know, since this whole hot takey thing, we got to keep it spicy. I think the Atlanta Falcons, they have the Kansas City Chiefs coming to Atlanta.
Sunday night.
I think the Atlanta Falcons beat the Chiefs, and everybody's going to be like, Atlanta is legit. The Falcons are legit.
So all of a sudden, we'll look at that loss last week as a good loss, not a bad loss.
Yeah, we'll look at that loss a little bit differently because it's still early in the season, and we have a small sample size. I know the way that we feel right now is bad, but I feel like Atlanta might be legit.
You're painting a rosy picture.
I was about to say Latlanta.
Yeah. So
I caught myself.
So Atlanta wins and the Eagles win. That would be a good result for the Birds.
Yeah.
Kyle, what's your take for this weekend?
I'm about to get crazy.
Oh, wow.
Because this is like talk about jumping the gun here. But look, this is the way people are. When you turn on ESPN on, I guess, what it's going to be Monday or Tuesday, what you're going to hear is people sounding the alarms and putting Caleb Williams on bust watch.
On fraud alert?
On fraud alert, dude.
Oh, man.
After three bad games in a row, people are going to say, look,
that's not really high takey, though.
How is it? Dude, he's the number one overall pick and was considered, like, generational. Like, people are calling him the next Mahomes. And you're going to call him a bust after 3 weeks?
No, but you know
I don't even believe it, but that's what people are going to be saying.
You know what's funny about that? I'm not saying that your take is off. I'm saying it's ironic how people talked about him in the first week of the season. Like, he went out there and he lit it up. He didn't. He didn't light it up.
No.
He didn't light it up. Then he go out there and get spanked by C.J. Stroud. And everybody talking about how C.J. Stroud tried to sun him.
Yeah, he did.
And he was like, hey, I wasn't trying to sun him. I was just talking to him. And now we're going from that to this. Bears just don't know how to develop. Well, it's hard to develop a quarterback when you got him out there playing almost immediately. But, yeah. The Bears just don't know what they're doing, man.
I will say, the Caleb Williams, that wasn't as bad as Rodgers with Saleh last night. Like, Aaron Rodgers, man, he wanted no part of Robert Saleh coming up. He tried to give him a hug, and Rodgers literally shoved him.
He looked pissed.
He has a punchable face, man.
I mean, we think Nick Sirianni has got no power. Robert Saleh, he has no power whatsoever in New York.
No, it was one of those things, man. You didn't have to do that. You didn't have to do the man like that.
Could you imagine if Jalen did that to Sirianni?
Oh, that'd be unbelievable. Unbelievable. This is the thing, man. Rodgers is a jerk. He's a good football player. Guy can still play.
He's
still looking
really
good.
He's definitely a baller.
Yeah.
Crazy. He's definitely a baller.
Yeah. We'll see how that plays out.
That witch doctor in Egypt might have. They said he should have been at minicamp, but like maybe that was the right move.
Yeah.
At this stage in his career.
I mean,
might have bought him another year of good football.
He's got to be studying some sort of witchcraft if he can make Nathaniel Hackett look like a competent coordinator.
Buddy Hackett. I forgot Buddy Hackett was there.
Yeah.
Well, like that was the only reason Hackett was Hired. With the Jets in the first, yeah, because of his relationship with Aaron Rodgers. Like, him and Rodgers had a good history together.
Because Aaron Rodgers just wants a coordinator who he can tell what to do.
What was Buddy Hackett coaching?
Wasn't he? He was at Green Bay and LaFleur,
no, it was
right?
Denver.
No, it was Denver. Yeah,
he
it
got
was
fired Denver. Like, yeah, after like 10 games or something.
Yeah, Buddy Hackett got fired at Denver. Yeah, because he didn't know what he was doing.
No, he did something really stupid.
He didn't want that game. Russell the office, wasn't it? And then Coach Payton had to come in there and save it. Because he gave Russell he went for a field goal.
Yeah.
Instead of letting Russ try to win the game.
Right.
That's what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
And they lost that first game in Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While we're on the subject of takes and predictions and Russell Wilson, I had a bold prediction before the season that Russell Wilson would lead the Steelers to the playoffs. He might not ever even get a chance to start.
He got hurt at the worst time you could get hurt, right before the season started.
How about him wearing shoulder pads on the sidelines when he's inactive? Is there any more of a Russell Wilson thing to do than that?
In fairness, he was the emergency third quarterback that game.
He can be inactive and still be the third guy?
Yeah. That's the new rule. Remember, basically, we created that when we knocked
rule.
Brock Purdy out. Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, I guess he has more of an
experience. Leave us alone, man.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.